God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today's the 21st day of August, 2011, and the start of our 2011 Missions Conference. In a few moments, you'll be listening to Brother Troy Williams, who with his wife and seven children minister in Asia Minor. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you're listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks again for listening.
I want to say this. I think a lot of people think that nothing could be done in the Middle East and these people cannot be reached. But I'm here to beg a little different. Okay, I feel like Joshua and Caleb in the Bible coming back to report and saying, "Hey, we can take the land. It's beautiful. It's a great place." And everybody being a little bit afraid, saying, "No, we can't. There's giants there." Well, are there giants in Turkey? You better believe it. We pray differently than we used to pray. We pray every day. We have extreme battles in our life. When you walk out the door, you just know you're going to be in a battle that day. God has used us over there. And I had a pastor come visit us not long ago, and he was doing the tours of the seven churches. And he said, "Brother, look at all these people who've rejected Christ. You know, you get some of us, I'm an independent fundamental Baptist, but some of us are militant." Amen. That's all I'm going to say about that. "Brother, look at all these people, bless God, that have rejected Christ, you know." And I said, "Brother, they've not rejected Christ. They've never been offered him." Now, if I hand you a 20 and you say, "No, thank you," that's rejection. But if I don't take a 20 out of my pocket and hand it to you, you can't reject a thing. You think they've rejected Christ. They've not rejected Christ. They've never been offered it. I've only met two people in the Middle East who've ever even read the Quran. And then when they do read it, they read it in Arabic, and they don't speak Arabic over there. My kids can sure tell you a lot of stories. But anyway, this past, like I said, we've just been there 4 years. The language and culture has been the preeminent in our mind. This past December, of course, can I say this here? The real Santa Claus is from Patara, Turkey. Amen. So even though Turkey is 99.9% Muslim, all the month of December, believe it or not, the whole country is lit up with Christmas trees and Christmas lights. The malls are decorated with Christmas trees, and they even tell us, "Merry Christmas," when we leave. I don't know if you can do that in America hardly anymore. They tell us "Merry Christmas" when we leave. December, when I write back letters, folks, for needing money for Bibles, and it's usually in that time, September, October, November, because December is a big time for us to get to give Bibles and give the gospel out to people. And so this past December, we decided we were going to do that. My wife had a cookie swap. You know how ladies get together and do all kinds of things in December. We had one Friday night open, and I said, let's try to stick a Christmas party in there and try to invite a bunch of our Turkish friends, and I'll give them Bibles and give them the gospel, and we'll do Christmas songs, whatever. And we did. Next picture. Our living room, we invited 34 people. 33 of them showed up. The one that didn't, father was in the hospital and he died the next week. So he had a pretty good excuse for not being there. Amen. Next picture. Look at my living room. It's packed. The next picture. It's packed. We had 33 people in there. My wife had cooked a dinner and snacks. And while we're eating the dinner, I said, "Guys, can I show you?" See, they're celebrating the new year. They're not celebrating Christmas the way we know it. They're celebrating the new year coming in. And I asked them, I said, "Guys, do you mind if I share with you from the Bible why we celebrate Christmas?" And these were our friends, right? We've been building relationships with these guys for quite a while. And they were like, "Sure." I got to take the Bible, give all of them a Bible in Turkish, and preach to them from Gabriel's announcement to Mary all the way through to Jesus dying on the cross in their language. Gave them Bibles. And then we went to our living room, and there were my kids. All of my kids play musical instruments, okay? So we did an 11-song Christmas program, handed out handouts for the songs, whatever. But the fact that these people came, folks, we were walking on water. It's like walking on air after. We were so pumped up and excited about getting to share the gospel with these people. And let me tell you something. We could have done this two or three times more. Two times, I know. If we had a building and a place to meet in, we could have had 100 people in there. So don't tell me it can't be done. Amen. I mean, I am the strong-willed child in my family and stubborn and bullheaded. But you know what? Sometimes God can use that personality. Because I'm stubborn and bullheaded against Islam. I'm just not going to back down to it. Amen. God's given every one of us personality. You're going to hear from a lot of different missionaries. Every one of us had different personalities that God uses. Okay, guys, that's all the pictures there. We can turn the lights back up now. Anyway, brother, what time have I got? What time did you say? 15 minutes? 15, 20 minutes. Okay, wow. Boy, I talked a long time. Acts chapter 10. This is my last time to speak this week, brother. No. Oh, man, Acts chapter 10. You know what? This is a Sunday morning, so I'm not going to do it. I'm going to just tell you, I'm going to show you, I'm going to do something different later on, okay? I'm just going to show you this morning what I do with these Muslim people. Because I don't care what you, I don't care what nationality, I don't care what religion, I don't care who you are or what you are. There's some things that are just absolutely the same in the Bible. Turn with me to John chapter 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. One of the things that I thought about doing is maybe holding some classes at some churches or whatever, meet one night during the week. A lot of people know Muslim people. They just don't know how to reach them. They don't know where to take them in the Bible. They don't know. They don't have a clue. And they're not going to come to your outreach programs. And I don't know here particularly if there's a lot of Muslims in this area. I do not know. But what the message I'm going to show with you this morning, it don't make any difference if you're a Muslim or a Christian or American or a Turk or from Indonesia. It don't make any difference. This is what I do in the Muslim world, okay? I always, in evangelism, you people know that you always have to start with getting the people to agree, right, with what you're saying and understanding. And Jesus said in John chapter 3, John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. When I tell that to the Middle East, they say, oh, I thought reincarnation was true. I said, no, this is not talking about reincarnation. You know, I like to mess with them as much as I can, you know, because who do the Muslims hate worse than anybody? The Jews, right? And a lot of times the Arabs. So I said, no, reincarnation is not true. And they go, you don't think it is? I said, no. And then if it is, you may come back as a Jew. They're like, oh, are you serious? You really think that happened? I said, or an Arab. Oh, no. So I try to eliminate reincarnation. We know that that's hogwash. How can I say hogwash in Ponca City? Everybody understand that? Jesus said in verse 4, when Nicodemus spoke back to him, Nicodemus said unto him, how could a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the second time into mother's womb and be born? Listen to this. Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. When I'm in the Middle East, I always take them to this verse right here. And I always explain to them. I think God put this, and Jesus put this in the Bible for a reason. And I believe he put it in the order that he put it in there. We talk about the physical birth, right? That which is born of, born of the water. I always go in to explain to them. I say, well, it don't make any difference if you're an American, if you're a Turk, if you call yourself a Muslim. It doesn't matter if you call yourself a Christian, whatever. Every one of us, to step your feet on the face of this earth, every one of us came here exactly the same way. Amen? Through the water. And I said, for 9 months, you lived in your mama's belly in water, didn't you? They're like, oh, yeah. They can't deny it, can they? They can't deny it. So I'm pulling them in here. I'm trying to get them to understand it. And they understand the birth process. They understand what it takes for you to get into to your mother's womb. Amen. And at conception, you began swimming in water, living in water. 9 months later, your mama's water broke, every one of us the same way. And boom, here we are on the face of this earth. Living, breathing, talking human beings. Amen. And I believe that Jesus put that in there for the same reason. I consider myself to be somewhat an authority on the birth process since I have 7 kids. And I believe that Jesus put this in there because I'm going to tell you something, folks. I truly believe there's a lot of similarities in the spiritual birth and in the physical birth. And when I say that, and folks, listen to me. This is what I'm giving to them, and I'm giving it to them hard, just like I'm going to give it to you this morning. There are a few things that I think we can relate to the spiritual birth that we can the physical birth. Number one, every one of my children that came into this world, they knew that their life had just changed. Amen. Every one of them that was born knew that their world had just changed. They may not be able to explain it. They may not be able to write a dissertation on it, but every one of them knew that their life had just changed. And I believe that when a person becomes born again, the Holy Spirit of God comes in and dwells their body, guess what happens? You know that there's a change in your life. If there's not been a change in your life, maybe you need to think about a few things. Every one of my babies that came into this world, every one of them without exception, every one of them came into this world hungry. Amen. It wasn't long after they came out, they had to give it to mama. And I believe when a person is born again, truly born again of the Spirit of God, you ought to be hungry for the things of God. I don't must mean be hungry about coming here to this church. Amen. You ought to be hungry for that too. But I'm telling you, this is like coming to a restaurant. Amen. You ought to be eating at home. You ought to be taking food with you to work for snack, for lunch. Amen. You ought to be eating all the time. There ought to be a change in your life, number one. There ought to be a hunger for God's word. I'm talking about reading God's word. I'm talking about praying. I'm talking about listening to godly music. I think there are some things that need to be there. And if it's not there, maybe it's not there. The third thing that I want you to take a look at this morning is, not only do my children come into this world knowing that their life has changed, not only did they come into this world knowing that they were hungry, they also came into this world talking. Every one of them, brother. And I'm telling you this because I know what it's like to be saved. I know what it's like to be lost, and it's not similar. And I know what it's like to watch 7 babies come into this world. Every one of them came into this world talking. And I believe that when a person is truly born again, the Holy Spirit of God is truly in that person's life, you ought to be talking to people about what's going on in your life, about what God's doing. Amen? You need to be talking about it. I mean, the day I got born again, brother, it was within a week I'd led somebody to the Lord. Now, we all have different gifts. We all have different callings. But bless God, I have talked to a lot of people in the ministry, and I'm not trying to rank anybody. I'm not trying to rank them, you know, from pastors or missionaries or to altar workers or handing out. I'm not trying to rank anybody, but I'm telling you, I have talked to every one of them, even to the people who the janitors and clean the yards and who do the landscaping. And you know what? There's a similarity about every one of them who have truly been born again, is that when you start talking to them about the Lord, man, they just won't stop doing what they're doing. They won't talk to you about God. They want to talk to you about it. I believe you need to know there's a life change in your life. You need to be hungry for the Word of God, and you need to be talking. And I think too, folks, listen. Not every one of them kids can come into this world anytime they wanted to. My wife would go to the doctor several times and say, "Wait a minute, you're not ready. You're not ready. You need to come back." I'm saying that, folks, because listen to me. I grew up in church, and I've been at this altar many a times. And I went back just as empty as I was when I came up here. I don't understand everything there is to understand about how God does what He does. But let me ask you something this morning. Do you know that you know that you know that you've been born again? Do you know that? Are the things that I talked about this morning evident in your life? Are you hungry for the Word of God? Folks, this is the same thing that I talk about. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And I always tell the Muslim people, you have got to be born again. You have been born of the water. You're walking and talking and living and breathing on the face of this earth. But to live in that next earth, to live in that next world, you have got to be born of the Spirit of God, because God is a spirit and His children are those born of the Spirit. Folks, that's just the Bible. I don't care if you're in the Middle East or in America. That's just the Bible. Have you truly been born again? Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that God has indwelt your body and lives in you? Because that's the most important message that a missionary can ever carry. Amen. I'll turn this over to the pastor. Brother, I may be out a little bit early. Let you out a little early. But I'll turn this over to the pastor. Father God, I want to pray to you this morning. Lord, I just shared what was on my heart. And I try to share with these people what we do in our countries. But God, there may very well be somebody, teenager, middle-aged person, older person. God may listen to this message. I don't know why you want me to do this morning. It's what I feel like you wanted me to do. But God, I just pray this morning, if there's somebody here, even in America, in Ponca City, that has never truly been born again, God, I would feel like I've not done my job if I've not brought an evangelistic message to your people. I don't care where I'm at. I'm an evangelist. Amen. God, please, if there's somebody here today that needs to think about what I've just said, God, I just pray that you would start a process in their life. The Holy Spirit would start convicting them about their walk with you. That they're not playing a game. Lord, it's easy to play a game. It's easy to just spit these stories out. It's easy to just be religious and just show up here. But God, I ask you this morning that the Holy Spirit would move among this crowd and move among this missions conference. That this would be a week that we wouldn't just get to share stories. This would be a week that we would still get to see people come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Father God, we give this morning to you. We give this day to you. We give this conference to you. No doubt these people have been praying for it for a long time. We put it in your hands and ask that your will be done with it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, a good passage, amen. Something we can all take and use in a very practical way. And I tell you what, this year I think it would be very good for us. I was sitting there thinking, you know, what would happen if we'd take John chapter 3 and maybe this week we do everything in our power to share that with somebody else. Just that simple story, being born of the water, being born of the Spirit. And that simple, and just showing them is, hey, you need to be born of the Spirit. Have you ever been born again? And they may look at you and say, I don't believe in reincarnation. You can say, neither do I. Let me tell you what born of the Spirit means. And so I tell you, it's our missions conference. Let's do something practical. We challenge everyone to give. If you give $5 a month, give something to missions, you know, so missionaries can go around the world and preach the gospel. But beyond that, that's probably the easiest thing we do is pull out a checkbook, pull out our wallets, put some money in, which is great. It helps our missions program, of course. But probably harder than that is opening our mouths. But Brother Williams is right. We talk all the time. Seriously, we talk about everything all the time. Why not talk about Jesus? And so if you'd pray, you'd purpose in your heart this week at work, or I'm going to go talk to my neighbor. I'm going to do everything I can to pass out a tract or open up my mouth and share Jesus Christ with somebody. I think it'd be a great benefit. Just look at the impact here. A couple hundred people on a Sunday morning do that. Wow. We could talk to 200 people this week. That'd be pretty amazing if everyone just talked to one person. So I pray that you'll do that.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. If you have opportunity to visit Ponca City, we invite you to be present in our worship services. We're located just 1 mile north of the city at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. We'd like a chance to say welcome in person. But until that time, we wish you God's blessings. We wish you a great week, and we thank you again for listening.